Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's always a great honor to any time to preach the Word of God, whether it's in a children's classroom or wherever it is, especially here at Rhema Bible Church and on this platform and this pulpit. And it's the last service of 2022. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I was sitting down there thinking, you know, do I have a saying yet for 2023? Because, you know, you got to have a saying, and it has to rhyme, or it's not charismatic. Us charismatics, you know, have to. The only thing I could come up with it'll be what it'll be in 2023. And so there you go. Live your life, base every decision on that word right there. That came straight out of my soul. There's no spirit involved with that. Hallelujah. I'm joking with you. Praise the Lord. Well, I started, last time I preached, started talking about some aspects of faith and didn't get very far as we got talking about some things. I do want to just review here shortly. If you go to Romans chapter 1, you know, faith, let me say this, faith, again, is not a formula. Faith, even though there are steps and we can recognize the aspects of faith, we're not trying to look at some formula that you can check off, you know, and say, well, you know, I did this, this, and this, so I must be in faith. Well, no, you could do all that and still not be in faith, okay? Pastor Craig has pointed out that he looked it up in Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, and it means unquestioning belief. So one aspect of faith is that you don't question. If you're questioning whether or not it is, then you're not in faith concerning that. But faith is something that, as a child of God, we live by faith. So let me say this to you. Faith is an all-in lifestyle with God. All in. I remember years ago I used to hear a certain preacher talk about making a quality decision about which there's no debate, from which there's no retreat. That's what faith is. It's all in. It's all in. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to mess them up upstairs. I go to Luke chapter 1. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 1 verse 26 here. You say, well, wait a minute. You're going to talk about Christmas. I know Christmas is over. And I'm not trying to add to what anybody's already said about. But have you ever realized what a woman of faith Mary was? Let's look at this for just a minute and just see some things here that can encourage us. Because, you know, if Mary could do what she did, you and I can do what we need to do for God. How many of you in here, be honest with you, God has asked you to do something you didn't see how it could be done, right? Now, for some of you, of course, we know around here, we're local church, but we also have got, you know, all the students and different things of that sort. For some folks, picking up and moving to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, look like an impossibility, right? How many of you had to do that? You had to move here. You're not from here, right? Well, there's a lot of things that God has for us. I'll say this, in almost every case, we cannot do it in and of our own ability. And it's going to be accomplished by grace, by the grace of God, through faith. Faith is going to be involved, but so is the grace of God. They work together. Here in, you know, Gabriel, verse 26, Luke 1:26, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came into her and said, "Hail, you highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What's that say? She's just like you and I. What is this? Well, you know, boy, did I have a bad biscuit this morning or what? You know, before I went and came, God, Here's this guy, he's talking to me, and he knows my name. I don't know who this is. And the angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Or favor and grace are the same thing. "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, you know, we know the story fairly well. Some may not as much. But, you know, Mary at this time is engaged to Joseph. And she's a virgin, pure. They had a pure relationship. They had not known one another in intimate way at all. And so she asked a very relevant question. "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" In other words, this is something, you know, this is different than Abraham and Sarah. They're married. A little bit earlier, you know, God came to John, we call him John the Baptist, father, and told him that he was going to have a child. He questioned it. But he had the story of Abraham. This had been done before. This had never been done before. Even though the Word of God talked about it. Right? So she asked this question. And you know, many times when God comes to us and tells us to do something, we have this question, how is this going to happen? How can I do this? I don't, and it always usually falls with, I don't have whatever it seems that I'm going to need to do this. Right? Now, it may not be on the magnitude of this, of giving birth to the Messiah. Right? But it's going to take the same type of all-in decision that Mary makes. We're going to see something here. All-in decision to take God at his word, no matter what. But then the angel gives her a key, two things, actually. This is how it's going to happen, Mary. The angel said unto her, first of all, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Or the Holy Ghost is going to empower you. Right? The Holy Ghost is going to empower you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Go back to the last chapter here of Luke chapter 24. Now, you know, at the end of Matthew's gospel, chapter 28, and at the end of Mark's gospel, chapter 16, we have Jesus telling us to go, to go. He told it to his disciples, and then we're on the same go pattern as they are, all right? But he told them something that's vitally important. He said, go, but wait. Why? He said, you need something before you can go. Now here in chapter 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This same power that Gabriel's talking about, this dunamis power, this power that's going to overshadow Mary. This same power he's telling us. Then, of course, Acts chapter 1, look at that. How's God going to accomplish through you that which he told you to do that's impossible for you to do in and of your own strength? By the Holy Ghost and by the power that comes from God. By the Holy Ghost and by the power that comes from God. Don't forget, child of God, that the mighty Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of you. Don't ever forget it. It doesn't matter what situation you enter into. The Holy Ghost is in you. I am never powerless. You're never powerless. You're never without God. No matter what the situation is. You see, when you know those things, it faith becomes just normal life. It's normal to believe God. You know, we're believers, right? You know it's natural for us to believe. It's natural for the child of God to do all the things that we've heard, call things that be not as though they were. It's natural for us to speak to the mountain. It's natural for us to believe we receive when we pray. We don't have to work those things up when we know these things. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Now, what did he tell us to do? Go and be a witness of these things that you've both seen and heard. Go. How are you going to do that? By the Holy Ghost and by the power of God. So let's go back here and look at Mary again. Then this angel does something. Well, let's finish out verse 35. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then he gives her an example. This kind of reminds me of Joshua. There in Joshua chapter 1, where God said, you know, first of all, he said to Joshua, hey, Moses is dead. And remember, you're in charge now. Quit thinking about what Moses is dead. And just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. You know, the book of Psalms, it said God showed Moses his ways and the children his acts. In other words, had Moses not known God's ways, they never would have seen the acts of God. Well, Joshua, God said, I'm going to show you my ways. And he told him how to do it. Meditate in my word. But he also told him something else. Be courageous. Be courageous. You know, it takes courage to go all in. It takes courage to step out. Amen. You know, and I don't know, but there's this story after story after story after story of people, men and women, who stepped out to obey God. Right? With nothing under their feet but the promises of God, right? Didn't know. They stepped out to obey God. Why? Because they decided to go all in with God. When they said, yes, Jesus, he just didn't become their Lord. He became their Savior. He became their Lord. Whatever you say, I'll do. Right? He says, behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, everybody say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. And that word nothing is very interesting, because when you look it up in the original, I don't speak Greek, but I can read with others, it is actually the word rhema. What's he saying? For with God, no word that he has spoken to you will be impossible. Nothing, no word of God. You know, every time the Holy Spirit leads you, that's a rhema. Rhemas come from the Logos also. God might bring a part of it out and speak to you through it. But then also God speaks to us by his Spirit. All the children of God are spoken to by God's Spirit. And when God tells you to do something, even it might seem like a small thing, but that is a rhema. And every time you will put that rhema in your mouth and act on it, you'll get the result that the word said. You see? And so he said nothing, no word, no rhema shall be impossible with God. With God. Then Mary said, look at this. Here's her all-in decision. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What she said literally was, behold your servant. She agreed to serve God in this manner to bring the Messiah into the earth. Your handmaid. One commentator calls it, brings out the idea, it means literally, I'm going to, out of love for you, I'm going to subjugate myself to you and literally work for you as a servant or a slave. But it's not slave in the sense that it's hard control over. I'm voluntarily giving up my rights to do what you want done out of love. All right? I know sometimes we struggle with words because words change meaning. And really, it's unfortunate, I think, sometimes in the King James Bible, it uses the term slave because it has such a different meaning than what the original language is trying to say, because it doesn't mean I'm owned. It means I voluntarily, right? I voluntarily am serving you, God, right? It's out of love. And he first loved us, so we love him. She said, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, or according to, and it's the same word, rhema. Be it unto me according to that rhema, that word from you. And the angel departed. Look at that all in decision. Based on what? The spoken word of God to her. Now, how many of you know? I don't know how many other women went to the well that day. How many other women were in that at that time? But God didn't speak that rhema to any of them. He spoke it to her. Amen. And so she had to make a decision. Everybody, that's the thing, and let me just bring it here and make it local for us here. As a body of believers, this Rhema family that's not only here tonight, but it's all over the world. You know, over 110,000 graduates around the world that have been trained in response to a Rhema word given to Kenneth E. Hagin in 1950 in Houston, Texas, in the spring. And God said, go teach my people faith. And he said, basically like Mary, how can I do this? I'm only one man. And God began to show him that God was going to raise up men and women who love the word of God, who would go all in and give their very life to get this message out and go places all over the world with, you know, been talking, the more I meet some of these earlier, I was in that, I was 84, that was the 10th graduating class. We were crazy. We had crazy faith, but those that went before us were crazier faith. They would get a one-way ticket to the Philippines, not know anybody, with $20 in their pocket, and somehow immigration let them in. You know, that wouldn't happen today, would it? Well, how are you going to take care of yourself? This $20 and faith. Oh, sorry, you got to go back. And are still there today. Almost 40 years, 40 some years later, some of them still there. And have spent that $20 over and over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they got it by faith. And God gave them a word to go. Like somebody said, a lot of people, some people, God says go, others just went. If you just went, then it's probably on you, but amen. I'm not going. See, God, Mary got a specific word from God. She's not acting on someone else's rhema. But each one of us, you remember when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. But then he asked him the question that every person that's ever walked this earth has to answer. Who do you say I am? What did he say? You are the Christ, Peter said, the Son of the living God. Well, here's the all-in decision that every one of us whom God has somehow miraculously brought together from all over the world. Who do we have here tonight that you're not from the United States? You're here internationally. Raise your hand and wave it at me. Wave your hand at me. You're maybe born out of the United States. Look at this. Hands all over. God, that only God can bring people together from all over the world like that. Around what? A rhema word. And you have to decide, am I going to go all in? Because when you make the all-in decision based on the rhema word, then the power of the Holy Ghost operates in your life. And you'll do exceeding, and God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever have asked or thought. Amen. All in on faith. Well, she goes down there to see her cousin Elizabeth, and that's supernatural. All right. Look what Elizabeth said to her. Verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. God used Elizabeth to confirm that word that Mary had. Blessed are you that believe. Believe what? The word of God. Make an all-in decision. Now, throughout the word of God, there are many opportunities, especially as we read the New Testament, to make all-in decisions. That this is true. Let God be true and everything else a lie. We're to take every thought captive. Is that thought that I'm having concerning, is that coming from God's word? Or is that my thought? Or is the devil trying to trick me here? What does that come from? That's why it's important that every believer knows what the word of God has to say. Every believer knows how to open up the Bible and read it for themselves. And know what it says. Hallelujah. And then Mary, look at this woman of faith, this young girl. My soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent empty away. He's helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Look at this. I want you to notice that God did not entrust the Messiah, God the Son, to be born of and raised by just some Jewish girl. This was a woman already of faith. And she's a teenager, probably middle teens, early teens. 13 is the earliest, so probably within 13 to 15 years old, according to a lot of historians. But I want you to see her act in faith. You know, Jesus said, unless you have faith as a little child, there's an innocence about her faith. There's this, whatever you said, I believe it. Let it be unto me according to your word. How many things could we say that about? Amen? You know, God's word talks about by Jesus' stripes we're healed. Let it be unto me according to your word. With long life I'll satisfy you and show you my salvation. Let it be unto me according to your word. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. Blessed in your barns, blessed. Ooh, barns, you're going to have some barns. Blessed, let it be unto me according to the word. Hallelujah. Now go to Romans chapter 1. The just, those who have been declared right with God by grace through faith, are you saved? Those that are saved live by faith. Here in Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember, the word gospel means good news. For it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The word just there means those declared right with God. As you read throughout this book, the subject of righteousness and faith is highlighted, it's emphasized, and we find out that there's none righteous in and of our own selves, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God, hallelujah, has imparted to us his righteousness through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus did, who by one man sin at death reigned, by one, and to those who have received the free gift of righteousness. shall reign as kings in life through the one Jesus Christ. Reigning in life, you see, over life. But the just shall live by faith. And God has set his kingdom up to operate by faith. That's why it's impossible to please God without faith. Whatever does not proceed from God is not faith. Hebrews 11:6 in the Weymouth New Testament says, but where there is no faith, it's impossible to truly please him. We're not talking about God loving you. We're talking about living a life pleasing to God. And it's impossible to operate in faith and not living a life pleasing to God. All, because we're talking about being all in. All in. Now, think about Mary. What did she go all in concerning? The promise of God. The word of God. So that's what we're looking at. That's why, you know, another aspect of faith. Where's faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing what God says, the rhema of God. Hearing that word of God. Faith comes that way. Not just having heard, but having. But notice, she took what was said and chose to believe it. Let it be unto me according to your word. You know, there's a lot of things you read. Somebody joked one time, says, you know, we like to call ourselves word people, but in the reality, many folks are favorite word people. We have our favorite scriptures, but that scripture that talks about forgiving people and loving people and doing all that, we don't like that. Right? But when we read there in 1 Corinthians 13 about the characteristics of love, love is patient and kind. Let it be unto me according to your word, God. Let me be patient and kind. We're partakers of the divine nature, right? We've got the fruit of the Spirit in us. You know, the recreated human spirit's filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives there and abides there. Love, joy, peace. Amen. I don't know about you, but the last 3 years have been a boot camp of learning how to still have joy and peace and patience and to walk in love. Amen. And I think what the devil meant for harm is the very thing that's going to bite him big time, because there's a rising, a mighty army of men and women who have come out of this, and we're stronger now than we ever have been, and we're going to go take the world and preach the gospel and hasten the coming of the Lord. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't have this on my list upstairs. I don't know who's doing it tonight, but I thank you for being patient. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I don't know, man, when was this? Pastor was preaching not too long ago, or it might have been Craig. And I asked you where this scripture was, right where we're sitting right over here. Thank God for electronic concordances and different things of that sort. But God spoke this to me. I knew what the scripture said. I just didn't remember where it was. He could have told me where it was, but maybe I quit listening after he quoted it to me. But it's gone off on the inside of me. Verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or all acceptance. In other words, there's no reason to doubt this. There's no reason to back off of this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's just what I heard on the inside. I didn't share this with a man, but I'll share it with you all right now. As I've been looking at this. If what I'm doing is not being involved in helping save sinners, then I'm wasting my time. We're either going to be all in. Now listen, that doesn't mean you have to quit everything you're doing and become a preacher. God's placed us all where he needs us, and we're needed everywhere. Right? But I'm saying, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we all in? Because the Bible does talk about we can do something about speeding up the coming of the Lord. 2 Peter 3. Turn back there. Since William brought this up, let's go ahead and turn back there. No, I brought it up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I know the end of the book says, come quickly, Lord. I know it says that, but there's a work yet to be done. Let me say it this way. There's a work to be done to finish what the finished work did. In other words, Jesus already finished his. He left us here to finish ours, which is the preaching of the gospel. But he says this in chapter 3, verse 12 of 2 Peter, looking for and hasting the coming, one translation says, or speeding up, this modern translation says, speeding up the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We're to look for it, look for the coming day, but then also do our part to speed it up. You know, Jesus doesn't even know that day. Now, God knows, but Jesus, this is something only the Father, and this is something only the Father knows. Jesus said, I don't know that day. Only the Father does. But faith, as we enter into this new year, you know, it's a time when people make decisions and they do all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to tell you this. The greatest decision, not the only, but the greatest decision you and I can make is to go all in. What do I mean by that? Let God be true. And say, be it unto me according to your word. And go all in. And we could stand here this time next year, Lord willing, and every one of us could testify with the miracles we've seen. The things that could not be done. I mean, when doctors walk into the room and say, I can't guarantee this person going to live. I can't guarantee this person going to be able to function at all. I can't guarantee any of this. I can't do any of it. And I walk in that hospital room the other day and that person sitting there looking at me and talking to me. You come too late to tell me that faith in God doesn't work. Hallelujah. I mean, when you leave the room and the nurse says, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. Woo! I almost didn't need an elevator to get down to get downstairs. I think, but I'm just gonna fly out the window right here. Hallelujah. God is good. Let's all stand together. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Hallelujah. Our prayer team's coming. But you know, all of us right now can make a commitment right where you're standing. Just every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we stand before you. As part of this congregation, we thank you for our pastors, Pastor Ms. Sagan. Thank you for Craig and Denise and the entire ministry here in this wonderful church. But we know that each one of us has a decision that we can make. And just like Mary said, be it unto me according to your word, each one of us, Father, I know that there are many here that you've spoken to, and maybe they've drawn back and they didn't know how it was going to happen. They couldn't see a way. All the natural things bombarded. Well, like Mary said, I don't know a man. It may be, I don't have the money, or I can't do this, or I don't have that, but yet it's you speaking to us. Father, as each one of us looks at that, may we, like Mary, stand and say, be it done unto us according to your word. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Just right where you're standing there, if you want to, if you just want to say to God, no one's looking around or anything, but if you just want to say to God, God, I know there's some things you've told me. I haven't understood it, but I'm gonna go all in and do what you told me to do. Just raise your hand up before God right now, just so he can see it. All in, God. All in. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know what 2023 is going to be like, but I'm going to agree with Pastor Craig. It's going to be the best year yet. Amen. How about you? What kind of year are you going to have? I'm going to have my best year yet. Hallelujah. Going to turn 62 here next month, and year 62 is going to be the best one yet. Jesus, Terry, 63, 64, 65, 85, 90, whatever how it is, going to be the best year yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you need prayer for anything, come on down, ladies, to the ladies, men, to the men. Don't forget, now Sunday morning we have one service. Don't have school about 10 o'clock, and there is no Sunday evening service. All right? And remember, the church office is closed on Monday. So this Sunday, we just have the 10 o'clock service. There's no school of the Bible. There's no, I believe it's a family service. That's right. All the children will be in here, right? So come on, celebrate the new year. And we know it'll be great for us to get together and celebrate together. Amen. All right. Gentlemen, we good? Everything good? God bless you. Shake hands with some folks. Let them know you're glad they're here tonight. We love you. Have a great new year.